Thank you for downloading this podcast from the Echo page. Echo membership will provide you with unlimited access to other educational material, as well as a huge number of other advantages. Please check this out at www.echo-ibd.eu.
My name is Jonathan Fiorino. Today I will give you a brief overview about corticosteroids, which are largely used to treat IBD patients. I will present the main characteristics of this drug class, potential benefits and harms, and some key take-home message on how to use these drugs efficiently and safely. Systemic steroids are synthetic or semi-synthetic glucocorticoids, which have potent anti-inflammatory effects in disorders of many organ systems. Glucocorticoids cause also profound and varied metabolic effects. In addition, they modify the body's immune responses to diverse stimuli. They have specifically primary glucocorticoid and minor mineralocorticoid effects. As a glucocorticoid receptor agonist, systemic steroids promote protein catabolism, gluconeogenesis, capillary wall stability, renal excretion of calcium, and suppress immune and inflammatory responses. Systemic steroids are generally completely absorbed after oral administration and reach peak plasma concentration after 1 to 3 hours. Plasma half-life is about 3 hours in adults and somewhat less in children. Its initial absorption, but not its overall bioavailability, is affected by food. Prednisolone has a biologic half-life lasting several hours, making it suitable for alternate day administration regimens. Corticosteroids present dose-dependent pharmacokinetics with an increase in dose leading to an increase in volume of distribution and plasma clearance. The degree of plasma protein binding determines the distribution and clearance of free pharmacological active drug. Reduced doses are necessary in patients with hypoalbuminemia that are primarily transformed in the liver and excreted in the urine as free as conjugated metabolites, together with small amounts of unchanged prednisolone. In ulcerative colitis, systemic corticosteroids are appropriate in patients with moderate to severe activity and in those with mild activity who do not respond to mesalamin. Intravenous systemic steroids represent the first choice in severe ulcerative colitis. In Crohn's disease, they are appropriate in patients with moderate to severe activity. Systemic steroids should be given at the lowest effective dose for the minimum period in order to minimize side effects. In children, they should be used only when specifically indicated at a shorter minimum dosage and for the shortest possible time. There is no clear indication in the maximum dosage of systemic steroids in IBD. Dosage should not exceed 1 mg per kilogram or 60 mg per day at the beginning of the treatment. Gradual withdrawal should be considered. Dosage reduction should not exceed 5 to 7.5 mg daily during chronic treatment. There are some particular categories of patients in whom gradual withdrawal should be also considered, even after short courses. You can find a list of these categories on the e-learning platform, as well as the conversion table for equivalent dose of different corticosteroids. In IBD patients, calcium and vitamin D, 1500 to 2000 international units per day supplementation should be given during steroid treatment. Although corticosteroids represent one of the most effective drugs in IBD, their use is associated to the risk of several and important side effects that should be carefully considered. Generally speaking, corticosteroids are associated to an increased susceptibility to and severity of infection with suppression of clinical symptoms and signs, opportunistic infection, recurrence of latent tuberculosis. Therefore, ECHO recommends careful screening for latent infections before starting corticosteroids. Corticosteroids also impair healing. For this reason, surgical intestinal resection with anastomosis in patients taking corticosteroids should be delayed until patients are completely withdrawn steroid therapy whenever possible. Withdrawal symptoms should be considered in case of fast weaning, especially in patients treated with long-term regimens. Other common side effects can be leukocytosis, Cushingoid phthisis, weight gain, impaired carbohydrate tolerance with increased requirement for antidiabetic therapy, manifestation of latent diabetes mellitus, menstrual irregularity and amenorrhea, hypertension, thromboembolism, imbalance of electrolytes, mainly sodium and potassium, nitrogen and calcium, mood disorders, insomnia, glaucoma, cataracts, peptic ulceration, acne, hirsutism, rash, urticaria, osteoporosis, and avascular osteonecrosis. It is understood that all patients taking corticosteroids should be carefully screened for risk factors for adverse events and monitored during the treatment. Usually, before treatment, we should measure blood pressure and serum glucose, creatinine, and electrolytes before start of treatment. We should consider a DEXA if risk factors for osteoporosis are identified and a baseline DEXA is not available, and screen for latent opportunistic infections. During the follow-up period, we should consider annual or biannual DEXA if patients need prolonged or repeated exposure to steroids and check for vitamin D status. Co-treatment with CYP3A inhibitors is expected to increase the risk of systemic side effects. Therefore, dose adjustment of concomitant drugs that share the same metabolic pathway should be considered. Live vaccines should not be given to patients with impaired immune responsiveness, and the diminished antibody response to other vaccines should be taken into account. In pregnant women, there is no evidence that corticosteroid results in an increased incidence of congenital abnormalities, such as cleft palate lip in men. About 88% of prednisolone is inactivated as it crosses the placenta. However, when given for prolonged periods or repeatedly during pregnancy, corticosteroids may increase the risk of intrauterine growth retardation. As with all drugs, corticosteroids should only be prescribed when the benefits to the mother and child outweigh the risks. When corticosteroids are essential, however, patients with normal pregnancies may be treated as though they were in the known gravid state. Patients with preeclampsia or fluid retention require close monitoring. In regards to breastfeeding, corticosteroids are excreted in small amounts in breast milk. The benefits of breastfeeding are likely to outweigh any theoretical risk of using steroids during this period. Besides systemic corticosteroids, low bioavailability steroids with similar efficacy but significantly lower risk of side effects are available. Budesonide is recommended in mild to moderate Crohn's disease limited to the ileum and or the right colon. Budesonide MMX is released along the colonic tract and it is indicated in mild to moderate ulcerative colitis. Budesonide is a corticosteroid with high local anti-inflammatory effect at doses clinically equivalent to systemically acting corticosteroids. Budesonide gives significantly less adrenal suppression. The recommended daily dose is 9 mg per day for 8 weeks, then taper gradually to zero within 8-10 weeks depending on response. The potential side effects of budesonide are of the same type of those given by systemic steroids, but significantly less common and with lower severity. The interaction with drugs inhibiting cytochrome P3A exists, but has significantly lower impact than systemic steroids. No particular parameters or monitoring strategies are recommended. In summary, systemic corticosteroids should be used to treat moderate to severe active disease in the short term. A careful consideration of potential side effects and of strategies to prevent them and to monitor patients is required. When the use of steroids is frequently needed, steroid-sparing strategies should be considered. Low bioavailability steroids should be considered in mild to moderate ulcerative colitis or in ileal mild to moderate Crohn's disease. Their use is considered relatively safe during pregnancy and breastfeeding.